It's been 5 years since New York State made a major change to how bail works.
Since April 2019, most people accused of misdemeanors and lower-level felonies, things like jumping turnstiles, driving under the influence, and prostitution, no longer have to post bail to be released before their court hearings.
Advocates say bail reform fixes a system that disproportionately impacts poor people. Critics maintain it's a threat to public safety.
As Dean Condoleo reports, 5 years later, bail reform is still a lightning rod for debate.
One of the rallying cries 5 years ago for bail reform was the death of Kalief Browder.
Kalief Browder went in at 17 for 3 years for a theft of a backpack, which he was probably innocent of, but even if he wasn't, it was the theft of a backpack.
Cynthia Godso teaches criminal law at Brooklyn Law School. In Kalief Browder's case, he spent 3 years at Rikers Island, mostly in solitary confinement, because he couldn't afford bail.
People were routinely jailed for minor things, whereas like major offenses, people like the Harvey Weinsteins of the world were able to be free because they could pay for it.
And at the crux of bail reform, even relatively small bail amounts can be too much for the city's poorest residents. But every time there's a fatal crime in New York City, critics are quick to blame bail reform. CUNY's Jennifer Ferrone studies the public's perception of crime, and she says the media is partly to blame.
Taking certain stories and making them directly attributable to bail reform, when in fact it was actually unclear. Those kind of media accounts do make the public nervous when it comes to bail reform.
In the 5 years since bail reform passed, the state legislature has twice restored some discretion to judges to require bail for certain crimes. Still, some bail reform critics, like former NYPD detective David Sarney, say the whole system is a mess. He's still frustrated at how it was decided 5 years ago.
There was not one law enforcement agency, not one prosecutor's office that was engaged in the conversation. We never had a seat at the table. This was done by politicians, legal defenders, with nary involvement by professionals who've been dealing with this system for decades.
Sarney argues that without the threat of bail, some people will just keep committing crimes.
They know I'm getting out tomorrow. I'm getting out in 3 hours, and they know it. So what are they doing? They're continuing the crime spree, and all we could do as police department is arrest them and hope we can eventually prosecute one case.
The question of what keeps someone from committing another crime is a big part of what Michael Rempel studies at John Jay College.
We're comparing individuals who were released as a result of the bail reform law to similar individuals, same types of criminal history and charges, who had bail set before the law went into effect in 2019.
And Rempel says the data just doesn't show that most people being released are not just going back out to commit more crimes. He says that's in part because being held in jail before trial is a big detour in their life.
The experience of detention will be harmful, because people lose their jobs, lose their housing, experience trauma, and those things will increase recidivism after their release.
Researchers like Rempel are getting more and more data each year about the impact of bail reform. And ultimately, that data might be the only thing that shifts people's perceptions. Dean Condoleo, Columbia Radio News.